Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 116 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON field investigator in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And today we are welcoming special guest Linda Thompson, who is a longtime researcher and investigator in the field of ufology and the paranormal. Linda is an assistant state director for MUFON in the state of Virginia and a field investigator, and she's also the research director of AROPS, the Aerospace Research Operations for Investigation. So we'll be getting into a lot of different information that she's been doing throughout the years. It's really some interesting stuff. I'm sure you guys will be like this and be very interested in it. Also, if you're looking forward to the Curiosities Festival coming up on May 4th, you can get that information over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Tickets are only $5 a person. You can't beat it, and it's a full day of ufology, the paranormal, and curiosities. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring Linda on. So strap on them seatbelts. We're going for a ride. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 116 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON field investigator in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And today we are sitting down with our special guest, Linda Thompson. Linda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, I've known you for a while in the field. You've been doing some really good research, advocating for experiencers. You're involved with MUFON. That's just some of the stuff, and there's plenty more. So welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you.
So I guess let's start from the beginning. How did you get into researching the field? Because I know you were a paralegal first, which kind of helped you with that. But could you kind of walk us through that?
Sure. Okay. I have been doing a lot of research for years, and I have helped politicians and international speakers. I helped ufologists behind the scenes doing research and writing some stuff for them, doing some media work for some. And I was doing all that kind of stuff and researching this. I have a background of interest in, as an abductee and experiencer, and I have an interest in the topic. And then when everything kind of blew up in 2017 with the article in the newspapers, that just kind of increased the workload that I was doing. And it also increased what I was doing personally as far as research and primarily in the government documents and trying to do that. Now, I already had been looking at trying to locate some documents pertaining to incidents around my family going back towards Blue Book, and I wasn't having success with that. So then it just went from there. You know, I've kept finding more and more places to look. So that's how it developed.
So was your main focus just looking at documents that were released from, you know, classified documents from the government? Is that what you did? You went through those and find the information that dated back?
Yeah, to a large extent. This topic takes you in all kinds of rabbit holes and all kinds of different places. So it became very obvious to me the more I looked at documents, the deeper this was and the more things that it involved. I mean, it like literally involves every topic there is.
Oh, absolutely.
So then that just became like a flood of research.
So what are some of the things that really caught your eye, that really hooked you in, that kept you going down those rabbit holes, the different aspects of the phenomenon itself?
As far as that, well, of course, there's the experiencer, consciousness, all those different levels of it. You've got the sightings, you have all the research that was done in the past to the present. So there's so many aspects of it. So, you know, I really enjoyed looking at the old Project Blue Book reports and laughing sometimes hysterically at some of them because, you know, the Air Force's conclusions were so ridiculous on some of them. So I was disappointed not to find one that involved my family that I know should have been there because I was present at the when the Air Force came out. But, you know, I don't know that I'll ever find that. So I suspect in that one specific incident that it could have been a rocket or a missile that went astray and landed in my grandmother's property. Wow. And it created this huge hole that the Air Force had to cover. And, you know, I think that that particular one had to have been something like that because I've never found the documentation otherwise.
So they actually came out to where you lived and actually did the investigation of what crashed
my
there?
My grandmother. And I was a young child. I was on my father's shoulders. And so, I mean, I was like on my father's shoulders. I was obviously like taller than the Air Force officer that came out. And so I remember being there. I remember, you know, the whole thing, as was told by my father to me later on. But I've never been able to find it in the records. So, you know, that doesn't mean that it didn't happen or that the records aren't some in a section that hasn't been revealed yet, because,
right,
you know, that's true too. There's some of it that hasn't been divulged yet, but, you know, I've also accepted the fact that that particular instance could have been a military rocket or missile that went astray.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. Maybe it was classified, the rocket right. itself. Yeah, that's really interesting to have a rocket land in your own. I mean, was this her backyard or did she have land?
It was the land, and it created quite a very deep hole that the Air Force said they couldn't ascertain how deep it was. And I don't know what they did or if that was just a, you know, a statement they made to the family to kind of shut them up about it. But
right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. So as you went through and moved forward with your research, when did you come across MUFON and become interested in becoming a field investigator? Because you're also the assistant state director for Virginia as well.
Correct. Okay, so I was not into like UFO TV shows or even X-Files or anything like that for, I would say, until maybe 2016.
Okay.
Is when I started watching any of that because my life was just so busy with other things before, and I really didn't watch TV very much. And so, you know, then we saw like the MUFON shows and stuff like that and started seeing more about MUFON. So that's when I learned of MUFON, and, you know, it wasn't until much later that I knew exactly what they did and that type of thing. So
yeah,
that's,
I think it was Hangar One that I think I found when
I think so. Yeah. Something like that. And of course, occasionally you would see some of the investigators on like Ancient Aliens or something like that, you know, one of that or documentaries on other things, but that wasn't very conclusive. So yeah, that kind of started down the road.
So how's that been, being an assistant state director and doing these investigations, working with the people that are having these sightings? How has that worked out for you?
It's worked out well. And I'm on medical leave right now and for upcoming surgery and then their recovery. But I had been doing the training for our team and helping people with all the processes, assigning cases, all of that. And I had been doing, you know, my own cases for a long time. So, you know, that's very well. Virginia, we have a lot of cases around military bases, even an ammunition factory. Of course, we have nuclear plants and other facilities. So there's a lot of hot spots. And NASA Langley, Wallops Island, I've had cases all over those places. So, you know, you learn a lot about what it is investigating the cases.
So are these cases that are coming in that are happening today, or are these cases also from before, these military base of cases?
Well, there are cases that go back. Now, these are cases that I've been involved in. So those were things that I have investigated and helped investigate on those specific cases. There's also been a couple of cases that I had where the objects were at least a football field size. And so I have two of those. One of them in particular, I know MUFON has talked about putting it in the journal. So I don't know, at some point that may go in the journal.
Is there one that maybe you could kind of tell us about? One of the ones that you've worked on that are interested in, more interesting that you find that you could share with us?
Yes. Okay. So one of those that I was talking about, it happened in the mountains, and a couple of guys were out looking. It was started about sunset that they noticed this object in the distance, and they had to go back towards that property anyway. It was like a big location, a lot of acreage and things like that. You know, they had vineyards and stuff on the property. And so they went towards the object. Now, they had a young puppy with them. They had each had their own cameras. One had an Android, one had an iPhone, and then they also had a Magic 3 drone with them. And so as they got closer to the property and they realized what it was, or what they thought it was, you know, they were both taking, you know, video with their own phones. And, you know, you could hear them here, you know, off, you know, they're like in their 20s or 30s, and you could hear both of them, you know, using all the expletives. In fact, I did a presentation for MUFON, and my director wouldn't let me play the audio because of, you know, but I mean, it also showed it was real,
right?
You know?
Absolutely.
So they were doing that, but each of their phones, and they had two different types of phones, it was very grainy and, you know, distorted. And so then one of them decided, okay, you know, we have the drone. I'm going to pull the drone out and start, you know, using that. Now, they had been using the drone earlier, and of course, the battery life on those don't go forever.
Right.
So they had some limitation on the amount of time that they could use the drone. But so they did take video with the drone. And that was better video. And we asked them, you know, how close did you get? And the guy said, well, I personally think we got like a mile, but I wouldn't let my drone go any closer. He goes, you know, I really wouldn't mind if I had to say my drone blew up because of a UFO, but, you know, as a Magic 3, it's brand new. I really didn't want to chance it.
Right.
And so, but then, okay, so that happened, and they actually got in a vehicle and tried to chase it. But, okay, so then on the video, it was like, and tell people, think of the shape of the Enterprise. And it was like gold glowing lights all over it. And then you could see like a gold and red lights going off of it, like drones, or I mean, not drones, but you know, like the orbs or the smaller vehicles, whatever, you right. know, we don't know. We can only speculate. So then they did end up going in their vehicle to try to chase it down. And of course, it's the mountains, you go up and down and you lose sight. So they followed it for quite a distance before they lost sight of it. And so then the following week, I want to say, you know, I don't remember the exact date, but when he got back to the office there, like the following week, there were all kinds of electronic problems at the office that they were having. And so, you know, they had to deal with that. So, you know, we felt like that was probably related, but I did take another investigator with me, and we went up to see the sites and to film the one key person involved, and then I did the audio on the other witness later because he is living in another state now. But so we got some good documentation and, you know, had to do a lot of background data on the case and everything like that. So we felt good about it. And, you know, like the person that went with me to video it, he has experience in law enforcement, and he felt like the person that we videoed was highly credible from his testimony. So
well, that's good. That's always good.
Yeah. So that was a good case.
That's great. And I know you're pretty good with video and photographs. And you said there was a couple different ones. Now, when you're working cases like this, what are some like good ways, good tips to kind of verify what you're looking at on a photograph? And is there anything specific you do, or any specific, you know, programs that you use to look at a photo or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm a Mac user, so that has some limitations on some of the forensic software out, but then there's other software that is good. So I've used a couple of different programs for that. I like, you know, and this is one that Mark Antonio had on his list for forensic programs, is Forensically, which is a free program. Now, it takes a lot of practice and used to analyzing with that. And a lot of people don't understand how it works, but it can be very good at detailing locations and dimensions. So something that people think doesn't have dimensions, that can show whether it does or not. In this particular case, I did use it because people thought, like in one of the snapshots, that the object was like, you know, that it was someplace different in perspective to where it was.
Okay.
And I was able to show that in one particular snapshot that it was below the one of the mountain ridges. So it wasn't just like high in the sky or, you know, something else.
Right.
And like somebody says, well, you know, the red lights kind of look like, I don't know, railroad rights or something, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, this is like This is like the middle of the mountain or whatever. It's not a railroad crossing. So, you know, it was like a lot of that type of detail that we could pinpoint out with that. And I use that particularly with just about anything I see. Like, you know, I use it for all kinds of stuff on Twitter just to kind of practice and analyze and see, you know, some stuff you can tell, you know, it's, yeah, this is junk. This is not real.
Right.
And then there's other things that, you know, really, it's very, very obvious. But I've had even insiders for some of the agencies ask me to analyze some stuff for them because, you know, they don't necessarily want to go to one of their agency people with something if it's not legit or, you know, they want a second opinion on it. So I've done some of that as well. And there's some other programs, and I've also have done audio analysis. Now, I'm not like great at it, but I can pull it up in like one particular thing. Somebody said, well, this is just a gunshot going off. Well, no, it wasn't a gunshot going off. And I was able to pull up like Bible of sounds, they call it, which has different catalogs of sounds. And I analyzed it against that and to be able to distinguish it as, you know, this is not a gunshot. So there's a lot of that that, you know, we just need to be able to take advantage of some of the stuff. Right. I also have the Topaz AI photo software, which is very expensive. I was able to get it on sale during Christmas online. And one of the things that you can do with that is if you have a photo that has a lot of static and noise on it, you can run it through there and clean it up. And so at least be able to get a better analysis of what it is through the other software you run.
Excellent.
So there's different techniques like that.
Yeah, that's great to have. And it's great to hear that there are these softwares out there, especially some of the free ones, because investigators, right. I mean, we're changing with the times, technology's getting better, and we got to get better with using the technology to be able to figure out different things. So it's excellent that you have these.
Yeah, and I take advantage of other MUFON investigators. I know that, you know, specialize in or have an expertise in special areas. Like I know a couple of others that are photographers and do a lot of work in that area. I know a couple that are drone experts. So, you know, if I have something, then I go, okay, so is this like possibly a drone? I will run it past them to see what their opinion is. Because one of the guys, he's like a commercial drone person. So he's like, if he doesn't had it, he's seen it.
Right.
And so, you know, and especially if there's something I think that's been hoaxed, which I've seen very few of those, but I have a personal rule that I have to have at least two other opinions that something's a hoax before I label it a hoax. That's just my personal thing because I don't want to label somebody as a hoaxer if they're not.
Right. Yeah. And people take it difficultly when, you know, you tell them that, or you might think it is and it isn't, you know, I completely understand that.
Right.
It happens all the time when somebody might not be educated on lens flare, and you have to let them know that too, you know, it's a shame.
I know. The first one I had like that.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was a guy who lived in Virginia, but he had this case from Jamaica. And of course I'm like, okay, do I get to go to Jamaica?
You know? Right.
And it turned out to be a lens flare, and he did not like that at all.
Yeah, they get mad.
You know, and I joked with him. I said, well, you know, I can't like go there to see it, but.
Right. Oh man. Yeah. It's a shame when you have to tell somebody that, you know, Some people are happy and they're like, oh my God, thank you for telling me about that. Now I know what to look for. And then other people are like, oh, it's not Lenchler. I know what I saw, you know?
Yeah, see, I've had three cases involving journalists, reporters. One of them had written for like every major newspaper and magazine. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to get this right, you know, because this could be a big stink if it's not.
Absolutely.
And he was the nicest guy. And what happened was, it was like one of the super moons. Well, I think it was last year. And I was outside that night and trying to take a photo of it. And I noticed, you know, this big star to the side of it. So when I got in, you know, I looked up on Stellarium and all that to see what it was. And so I found out what the star was. Well, he's in Northern Virginia and he sends me almost identical photo. And of course, I knew right away, but I had to go through the whole process.
Right. Yep.
You know, of eliminating and identifying. And so I explained it to him and I said, you know, you can use Stellarium. And I explained to him how to use Stellarium. And he goes, you know what? I am so happy that you told me about this program, because I love to watch the sky. So now I know what I can use to identify stuff.
That's awesome.
So he was like wonderful.
Yeah, it's good when they're like that, you know, you can't get better than that. So it's pretty cool to educate people and then be thankful for it, that you help them out. So that's pretty cool. That's awesome. We're actually at the half, so I want to go ahead and take our break real quick. And when we get back, I want to talk about your work with AROPS, the Aerospace Research Operation for Investigations, something I've never heard of before. So I'd like to touch on that and a couple other aspects. So let's go ahead and take our break, and we'll be back right after these commercial messages. Hello, everybody. This is your host, Jesse P. Happy to announce, coming up this year in 2024, on May 4th, is the Curiosities Festival, which will include speakers in the field of ufology, the paranormal, and Bigfoot. We'll also be having live performances throughout the day, live bands, food, activities, and more. Tickets will only be $5 a person, and it'll be from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. at night. Again, this is for the 2024 Curiosities Festival. You can get this information over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. We look forward to seeing you there. This is your host, Jesse Peek. Check out our official website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Read up on UFO articles, including abductions, close encounters, sighting cases, megalithic structures, and more. Also, check out our new Facebook group. You'll get updates on guests every week, new events coming up, and our schedule of who we're going to have on in the future. Again, that's UFO Encounters Worldwide Facebook group and our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com.
UFO Encounters Worldwide wants to hear from you. Have an experience or a sighting you want to share? Contact your host, Jesse Peek, at ufoencountersworldwide@gmail.com today.
UFO Encounters Worldwide would like to announce our brand new home at the UNX Network. Listen to us every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear UFO Encounters Worldwide podcast. That's on the UNX Network.
Have you always been curious about the unknown, the unexplainable? Do you find yourself intrigued by the mysterious and paranormal side of our world? Then let's find out, with co-host Diego, is the podcast for you. Join in on an adventure into the world of the inexplicable and get insights from experienced researchers, investigators, and experts. Listen to mind-bending discussions and fascinating stories as Let's Find Out explores the strange, mysterious, and paranormal. Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is a unique and engaging podcast that uncovers the mysteries of the cryptic and unknown. With insightful interviews and discussions, they discover the very latest theories, discoveries, and investigations that may someday give us the final answer as to what may be behind the veil of reality. Available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, TuneIn, and Rumble.
Welcome back to the second half of episode 116. We're sitting down with our special guest, Linda Thompson. So Linda, you're also a part of something that I have not heard of before. It's called AROPS, the Aerospace Research Operations for Investigations. Could you kind of tell us what that is and what you guys do there?
Okay. And I'm a volunteer. I was asked to be a partner and I was like, no, I don't really want to be a partner because, I've got a ton of things that I'm involved in. So I didn't want to do that. So I was made, and this is a volunteer position, a director of research is what I was labeled. And so it is a combination of things. Okay, so we can take a case and evaluate the different steps of it to figure out who we need involved in what part of the case, and then assign it or enlist people that will consult with us. And then the other part of that is there is a book out on first responders. And so part of that is being able to have seminars for police officers and fire departments, that type of thing, to train first responders on how to react to whether it's the public making sighting reports to them, whether they see something, whether they encounter something, whether they go on site because somebody's called them out for something. You know, like Las Vegas is the perfect example of the alleged aliens and all that stuff. Okay, so regardless of whether it was aliens, not aliens, that's a perfect textbook case on what should have been done to handle it, to be investigating it, all of that. So that's the type of scenarios that we look at. And the same thing with the Miami, you know, it's not just, we don't look at that type of thing as a point of view of, oh yeah, that's absolutely true, or no, that's false. We look at it and go, okay, well, what should have been done? You know, so that is part of what we do and try to use it for training purposes. But we get contacted about all kinds of stuff. And so, Richard Lang is the owner and he's the one that's written the book for first responders. And so we got involved in a case in Virginia together. And so that's how we met, along with him going to MUFON meetings. And so, like I said, I had been asked to be a partner and I wasn't interested in being a partner. So he consults with me constantly and, we look at these things and, you know, because there's a lot of things that aren't being done right now that needs to be done.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's pretty much it. And like I asked you about one of the cases that involved electronic issues.
Yes.
So none of this is like fee-based or anything like that, at least not for a while. I imagine that once he has seminars and has to give out paperwork or whatever, that there's going to be cost to somebody for some of that. But right now, you know, this is just really getting off the ground. It's been around for about a year.
So now I do remember this, actually, because Richard Lang came to Mainline MUFON in Philadelphia and talked about it. And it's Keith, my other friend Keith, that's in UAP Mid.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've got about three or four other people. We have, we do have a couple of MUFON people, but then we have somebody who was on the UAP task force.
Okay.
And so there's a variety of people involved in it.
Yeah, that's excellent. You guys each have a specific background and you come together and be able to use that. That's excellent to be able to do this kind of work.
Right. And so it's not that, you know, we want to be able to pull in people as we have the need and as we see the expertise that is needed for a project. And so, you know, it's like a consulting group, basically.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think it's great because there are cases that have been investigated in the past, and there's even ones today where things weren't properly investigated or things should have been done that we didn't know how to do or anything like that, and you guys are out there doing that. So it kind of helps investigators in training today to be able to do the right thing when you're investigating a case. So that's excellent work. So I do have a couple questions from some of the listeners. We have our one of our listeners, Chris Harmon, and he's from MUFON too. He wanted to ask you, where do you see disclosure going this year in 2024?
I don't know. I know people, you know, that have been spearheading all of this are optimistic, but, you know, I know they also didn't get the NDA passed the way they wanted it passed. And I know there's various whistleblowers that could come forward, but then you also have the way that Grush was treated that is holding others back. And so I'm optimistic that a lot of the younger congressmen and people are getting involved in this. I think that the more less permanent people that we have in Congress and Senate and have fresh blood going in to look at stuff with new eyes, I think the better. So, you know, that part I am optimistic about. You know, I don't know what's going to happen as far as with the campaigns and stuff, but I've been around, I was writing letters to presidents and stuff when I was like in elementary school about this, you know. I mean, my father would bring in letters from the mailbox and like, okay, you do know you have to put stamps on this, right? And so I keep thinking one of these days I'm going to open up documents in a presidential library and find my elementary school scribble.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be great.
So he told me when I was young that I was going to be on list.
That's awesome.
You know, I'm optimistic, but I'm still a realist because it seems like everything goes around and around.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does with politics, especially. I did see the videos of they had that closed hearing the other day, and they did some videos and interviewed some of the politicians coming out of the room. What were your thoughts on that and some of the things that they stated? Did you see the videos?
Yes. I think that there were a couple of them particularly that looked kind of reminded me of the way Mark Warner looked the first time that he exited a meeting, you know, it was two or three years ago. And Mark Warner is a senator from Virginia, and he had been a governor before. So I was kind of used to reading his face on stuff. And you could tell that it had really kind of caught him off guard. And there were one or two people coming out of those meetings that kind of gave me the same impression. And then a couple of them later on were more direct about, you know, this has got to stop, you know, hiding all this stuff has got to stop. So, you know, I hope that they don't get shut up. That is my concern. You know, whether it's threats or whatever, I hope that they continue doing what they're doing.
Yeah, a couple of them said that they want to continue to push and they're not going to stop until they get some answers, which I would really hope is what happens. You know, I hope they're able to continue making them steps forward and being able to have more of these closed hearings, even the public hearings, and continue to do that. And nobody really like puts a foot out to trip them up and stop them from doing this.
Right.
So hopefully we're, you know, some good things will come. That would be nice. You know, I mean, I never thought that I would be around Linda for the hearings to even happen at all. So,
<Right.
laughs> so I'm kind of happy that happened in my lifetime and in yours as well. So, I mean,
sure.
We never thought we would get that far, right?
Right, exactly. And it's a long, long way.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's one more question from one of the listeners. This is from Laura Mormon. She wanted to ask your opinion on the UAP Disclosure Act and what the future legislation should look like, especially concerning contactees.
Okay. Dean Johnson, Doug Johnson, depending on who you're calling by, he is really the expert on that act. You know, it has language taken out, and of course they adjusted language. One of the things that bothered me before was that the government would have eminent domain over anything to do with this, you know, if there was an object or whatever. And from what I understand, there was also some scientists that had concerns about that, because you know, they were testing items that were allegedly off craft, and, you know, were they going to have to turn those in too? And, you know, you think about, okay, so abductees or anybody else that might have anything, you know, it just snowballs. I mean, where's the limit on stuff? And
right.
My concern is eminent domain with the government. All of this, the problems we're having now, is because of the government.
Absolutely.
So why would we want to give them more things to hide away or destroy? You know, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. So that was a concern of mine. You know.
So do you think that like organizations, just for example, organizations like MUFON or Arabs, should be leading the way on things like this and not the government behind closed doors? Is that what you mean?
Well, they certainly should be involved in it. You know, I get concerned whenever there is any one group that gets everything.
Okay.
Or any one place that gets all the documents. Because in the past, there was... you know, the St. Louis fire, not a lot of people know about, but a lot of the military records were destroyed in a fire. And my father and my uncle's military records were destroyed in that fire. I have a huge concern about, you know, anybody having everything on anything. You know, and I will just say, in IGMA as an example, I'm not saying they're the bad guys, but I'm just saying as an example, they've gone around trying to buy up files and various things from MADAR, from New Fork, you know, from other groups. And, you know, they've been told no, but what if they ended up with everything and then 2 years from now, they shut down the company?
Right.
Who has control of that? You know, it could be a huge dumpster fire, you
right.
know, because there's no continuity. And so all of that concerns me. You know, it concerns me when you have like the National UFO Historical Center efforts going on, because not because I love David Marler, so that's, you know, but I'm just concerned whenever anything's in one location, and especially if it's not like Fort Knox, that things can get destroyed.
Yeah, and that's a lot of history that he has, you know, a lot of really, really good evidence, documents, everything. I mean, you see the photos, and if imagine if his house burnt down. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I understand he's looking for another place because obviously it's outgrown everything he's got. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. A building, especially that for a nonprofit, you know, it's going to be difficult to do what needs to be done for security and safety.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. A little bit of everything from everywhere. Everybody have a little bit of something. So, you know, it's safe in a sense. I like that. It's different. Never heard that before. So I did want to touch on this. We got about 5 or 6 minutes left. You're an advocate for abductees, people that have had contact. What makes you feel so strongly about protecting abductees, getting them the proper help they need? Can you kind of walk us through where that inspiration comes from with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as far as getting help, that's something that I know, you know, your UAP Med is doing. I know that MUFON ERT has some limited ability to help with that. I know there's Opus. I know there's a variety of different groups. I do know of some private practitioners, psychologists and such that are helping some people. So I know all that's going on. My concern is deeper in that I'm concerned for people who want to use abductees for like guinea pigs, testing them. I know that some abductees want to be tested, want to be proven that they're abductees, you know, whether it's brain scans or DNA or something else. And I can understand those desires, but and the medical test should be triple blind, which I know is added cost, but I have very specific reasons for why that must be done. People don't understand all the implications involved, the dangers involved, and what could lie ahead for people who are abductees. So that's my concern.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ridicule too with when it comes to experiencers or people contactees, abductees. They got to worry about even talking with their own family and friends sometimes, and that can be very dangerous as well. There's a lot of different aspects to it, and I think it's great that you're advocating for abductees like this. There needs to be more ways to help them as well. UAP Med and MUFON and Opus, I mean, they're just some of the ones that have been doing great work to try to help them. So what are some things that you would like to see to be able to like put in place so we can make sure they're protected, that they're not taken advantage of? Do you have anything that you've been thinking of or anything you would like to see done?
I just want to keep harping on this. Okay, so like some of the monitoring of abductees in the past and some that's going on right now involving different equipment, that obviously has limitations. It's subject to the phenomena. You know, it's very games that it plays with you, but there have been too many instances where equipment like that has been given to abductees to help to test and monitor for abnormal events have included other equipment and capabilities that abductees weren't aware of. So there was violation of privacy in some cases. There was other things going on. So I'm very concerned about the abuse of abductees' privacy and rights. And so that is one of the many issues I try to push to abductees, is that, you know, just because somebody's here to help you doesn't mean they're here to help you.
That's right.
You know, and we have also, our society has enough trouble with people that would kill somebody if they look at them wrong, or, you know, whatever. You know, when this really comes down to being serious, you don't know what some person could do to somebody just because they're known as an abductee, or they think you're a hybrid, or, you know, I mean, you know how people are with
Absolutely.
Different groups of and races and everything else. So, you know, people just need to, like, look at the big picture of what's going on, and, you know, make sure that you're not getting into something blindly because you want to attract attention, or because you want to get proven as being something. Like, you know,
for example, yeah. I know recently, you know, well, it's been a little while, but there's been producers that have reached out to experiencers, right, and say right. they're going to help them, and, you know, we'll help you through your process. It'll be good. Come right. on camera, tell your story. You know, we'll get it out there to the world. Only yeah. to have that done, and then for you to never hear from the producer ever again, and they're making millions off of what off your story.
Well, and I know some worse stories than that.
I can so, imagine.
Yeah, I know a lot of worse things than that. And so, and the thing is, you know, some of these are given and redacted to people. And then, okay, just because somebody has died doesn't mean that their children or grandchildren have died. You know, they could still be alive, and this could still affect them and have them targeted.
Right.
So there's so many different aspects of this that people really need to be educated about.
I agree 100%. And I think it's great that you are advocating for that. You know what I mean? People need to hear that, you know, and you know, many experiencers want help so bad that anybody that will listen, they'll tell their story to. And sometimes you just got to have your guard up a little bit, because you got to make sure you know who you're talking to. Make sure it's the right people, like you said. Just because they're asking for to help you doesn't mean you're going to get help, you know.
Right.
So
right.
You're absolutely 100% right. And I think it's great that you're doing that. So we're actually at the end of the show. And I want to thank you for coming on today and sharing all your research, the things you've been doing throughout the years. Absolutely amazing work. You're talked very highly of it in the field, and I think everybody knows the work that you're doing is great. Do you want to tell everybody where they can maybe follow you or give any information out that you want to promote?
Oh my gosh, this is going to be so funny. So I am on Twitter. And my Twitter handle is Lynda, LYNDA _ research with the capital R. I also have a website that is lyndathompsonresearch.net. And I sorely need to update that website, but that's my website. And those are, and I'm on LinkedIn, but there's a lot of Lynda Thompsons, L-I-N-D-A and L-Y-N-D-A. And so I'm L-Y-N-D-A.
All right. Yeah, I'll make sure I put it. I'll put that stuff in the description of the episode so people can get that real easily. I want to thank you for coming on again and spending some part of your day with us and telling us about your research and the things you're doing. Your advice is excellent. And I appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you, Jesse.
No problem. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to episode 116 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. Next week, we'll be back with special guest Bob Spearing, the Director of Investigations International for MUFON. So as we like to always say, Until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky. Well, I want to thank Linda Thompson for coming on today and sharing her years of research with us. She's doing some great work down there as the Assistant State Director for MUFON in Virginia and the Research Director over at AROPS, the Aerospace Research Operations for Investigations. So I want to thank Linda for coming on today and sharing all that with us. She's doing some great work advocating for experiencers and abductees, contactees. Excellent stuff for sure. Next week, we're going to be bringing on special guest Bob Spearing. Bob has been on in the past. He is the MUFON's Director of Investigations International. So he's done some of the top cases that MUFON has come across over the years. And last time he shared some really, 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 really good cases with us. So he'll be coming on and sharing some of the top cases from this past year. So it should be really good content. You guys are going to definitely like that one for sure. And if you guys are interested in the upcoming Curiosities Festival on May 4th, tickets are only $5. It's a full day full of events. You can get that information over our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to episode 116 of UFO Encounters Worldwide with your host, Jesse Peek. And we'll be back next week with another amazing episode. So until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky. Oh.